Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the first episode that I have recorded since the shooting at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. If you follow me on socials, you know that I have been very vocal about how I feel about all of this. I am not shy about my opinion that we need stricter, safer gun laws in this country. We have been begging and screaming from the rooftops since we watched all of this unfold almost 10 years ago at Sandy Hook Elementary. This is not normal. This should not keep happening this way. Lawmakers have watched malls and movie theaters and churches and schools cordoned off as mass crime scenes. They have watched anguished parents screaming on news footage. They have watched as the FBI swarms an elementary school or a high school to clear the scene of a mass shooting. And we are still here. Nothing has changed. We should not have to remember and honor children because they died this way. Our children do not deserve to live like this. We don't have to live like this. I do want to take a moment, as many other podcasts have done, and I want to remember and honor these sweet babies with a moment of silence. It is time to take action, and thoughts and prayers are not enough. But please do join me while we take a moment and remember these innocent lives. Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. In honor of Pride Month, all of my episodes during the month of June will be dedicated to the LGBTQ+ community. I wanted to highlight the stories of missing people who are part of the LGBTQ+ community, especially those stories that have fallen out of the public eye, or that never truly made it into the public eye in the first place. To everyone who is a part of this community, whether you are out or you are undecided about coming out, whether you aren't sure if you want to put a label on your identity, whether you explored your identity as a teen or didn't start rediscovering yourself until later in life, I am so happy that you're here, and I'm so proud of you. Happy Pride. This episode discusses topics that may be triggering, such as substance abuse and domestic violence. Please take care of yourselves, and if these topics aren't safe for you to listen to, it's okay to skip this episode. Fawn Marie Mountain was born on March 2, 1987, and she grew up in Pennsylvania with her family. Fawn has been described as incredibly loving and even selfless. Growing up, she was outgoing and laid back, and just an easy person to get along with. Those closest to Fawn have said that she had such a warm, comforting energy and that within minutes of meeting her, you felt like you could tell her anything. But Fawn's life was not easy. Throughout her childhood, she suffered sexual abuse at the hands of individuals within her own family. And this, of course, caused irreparable trauma that may have influenced Fawn's relationships as she got older. Eventually, Fawn started a relationship with a man who was abusive toward her. Despite the relationship being extremely toxic and unhealthy, Fawn did go on to have two children with this man. Unfortunately, due to unknown circumstances, possibly having to do with the abusive nature of their relationship, both children were taken out of Fawn's custody. And this, of course, was devastating for Fawn. But one thing that did bring her comfort after having to give up her children was her cousin's daughter. Fawn and her cousin Bridget grew up together, and they did everything together when they were kids. When Bridget was 16 years old, she became a mom to her first baby, and from the moment her baby was born, Fawn was right there to support her. Though they had drifted apart over the years, Fawn absolutely adored Bridget's daughter, and she was a huge helping hand in raising her. Eventually, Fawn did start another relationship, and this one was not any less toxic than the relationship she'd had with the father of her children. This relationship was also abusive, and Fawn just didn't know how to leave. Being in a relationship of that nature can be debilitating, and Fawn found herself in a vicious cycle that was difficult and maybe even near impossible to break. She did become pregnant again during this relationship, but tragically Fawn's third child, a baby girl named Kaden, was stillborn, and this was earth-shattering for Fawn. The only solace she found was in keeping her daughter's ashes close. She always kept Kaden's urn close by. After all of the trauma and heartache that Fawn had gone through in her life, she did struggle with alcohol and other substance abuse. In 2009, when Fawn was 22 years old, she met a woman named Heather Dibert at a nightclub called The Island in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The people who knew Fawn best have said that her connection with Heather was instantaneous. The two of them just clicked, and soon after meeting, they were in a relationship. Not long after that, Fawn revealed to her mother, Dorothy, that Heather had asked her to move to Claysburg, Pennsylvania with her, just over 20 minutes away from Altoona. Needless to say, their relationship was moving pretty quickly. It wasn't long before Fawn moved into a mobile home park with Heather in Claysburg. As quickly as her relationship with Heather progressed, it also became toxic and abusive. According to family and friends of Fawn, Heather was extremely possessive and controlled and micromanaged Fawn's every move. Over time, it reached a point where Heather was unable to hold a steady job because she would force Fawn to come to work with her each day. But instead of giving her the keys to the car and letting Fawn have any sort of freedom, Heather would park her car outside of her work and lock Fawn inside for the entirety of Heather's shift at work. There were occasions where Fawn would stay home while Heather worked, but Heather began to padlock the front and back door, literally locking Fawn inside the home so that she couldn't leave. Fawn was trapped. On top of that, Fawn was not allowed to have a cell phone. There was a home phone at their house, but Heather would have all calls that came into the house phone forwarded to her cell phone so that Fawn couldn't receive any calls while Heather was away.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There were multiple incidents of physical violence within the relationship. On several occasions, police were called when Fawn and Heather were fighting. During one particular visit with her mother, Fawn wore a hooded sweatshirt that she refused to take off, or even unzip. At her mother's insistence, however, Fawn finally unzipped some of the sweatshirt to reveal rope marks around her neck, where Heather had tried to strangle her with a rope. Fawn made several visits to the emergency room during her relationship with Heather. Friends have said that at one point, it became so frequent that Fawn started visiting different hospitals because she was worried that doctors would start asking questions that she was too afraid to answer. This was not the first relationship in which Heather was an abuser. Before meeting Fawn, there were 6 protection from abuse orders filed against Heather by former partners. Fawn did attempt to leave Heather multiple times, but somehow, Heather always manipulated and coerced her into coming back. In 2011, seemingly out of the blue, Fawn filed a protection from abuse order against her mother, Dorothy. Fawn's family is still convinced that this was done on Heather's order. Sometime after the PFA was filed, Fawn and Heather ended up in another fight, and Fawn once again tried to leave her for good. Fawn ended up going to her mother's house, despite the PFA that was in place. When Heather found out, she actually called the police on Fawn's mother, stating that she had violated the PFA order. This resulted in Fawn's mother spending a weekend in jail. By November 2012, Fawn had gone completely no contact with her family. And again, those who knew Fawn are still convinced that this was Heather's doing. On November 25th, 2012, just after Thanksgiving, Fawn and Heather were at Heather's parents' home in East Freedom, Pennsylvania, only a few minutes down the road from where they lived in Claysburg. That day, they were helping Heather's parents prepare their family-owned butcher shop for hunting season. They were joined by Heather's brother, Mike, and his girlfriend, Stephanie. After they had finished cleaning the butcher shop for the day, the four of them each had a couple of beers before deciding to call it a night and head home. Mike and Stephanie actually lived in the same mobile home park as Fawn and Heather. In fact, they were next-door neighbors. When the four of them arrived back at their homes, Heather helped her brother Mike carry something inside of his house, while Fawn stayed in the car and chatted with Stephanie. Soon, they all went inside for the night. The next morning, Mike and Stephanie walked outside to see Heather on her porch, smoking a cigarette and talking to her parents. But Stephanie quickly noticed that Fawn was nowhere to be seen. This was strange. It was well known that Heather quite literally never allowed Fawn out of her sight. Typically, if Heather was outside smoking, Fawn would be right there beside her. When Stephanie asked where Fawn was, Heather told her that when she woke up around 3 a.m. the night before to use the bathroom, Fawn was gone. Heather claimed that she had taken off in the middle of the night. But Fawn's clothes were still in the house, and most importantly, she had left behind Caden's urn, something she absolutely would not have done. Stephanie was suspicious of the situation from the moment Heather said that Fawn had just run away. In the 3 years since Fawn had met Heather, Heather did not ever allow Fawn even the chance to run away. Every single time Fawn had tried to leave Heather in the past, Heather wasn't far behind. Stephanie has said that there were multiple occasions where Heather would frantically go from house to house, banging on neighbors' doors in the early hours of the morning, demanding to know if anyone had seen Fawn. The fact that Heather seemed completely unconcerned with Fawn's absence was bizarre and unsettling. Only 1 week after Fawn's disappearance, Heather began remodeling their entire mobile home. All of the flooring and carpeting was removed and replaced, and a new concrete slab was poured. Soon after that, Heather packed up and moved to Ohio. Just 2 months after moving away, Heather returned to Pennsylvania with a new girlfriend, who she would eventually marry. Time went on, and Fawn's family wasn't even made aware that Fawn had disappeared. They hadn't had any contact with her for quite some time prior to her disappearance, so there was no reason for them to believe that her lack of communication with them was a cause for concern. It had become the norm between Fawn and her family. Fawn and Heather had been in a relationship for 3 years at the time Fawn went missing, so people in their circle did notice Fawn's absence. When anyone asked Heather about where Fawn was, Heather would spin a new story each and every time. She would tell people that Fawn had gotten arrested and was in prison in Ohio, or that Fawn had up and moved to New York and became a sex worker. There was even one story about Fawn having moved to Arizona. Needless to say, Heather could not keep her story straight. Fawn's disappearance went unreported to the police for years. In April 2015, Fawn's stepfather was in the hospital, and he didn't have much time left. Fawn's family tried reaching out to her through Heather to let her know what was happening, but they never received any response. Finally, Fawn's family sent someone to the home that Fawn had shared with Heather, but when Heather answered the door, she told them that Fawn had just taken off 3 years earlier. It was soon after this that Fawn's family reported her missing to the police. Fawn's case didn't get sent over to the Pennsylvania State Police until 2017, 5 years after she disappeared. Years after Fawn went missing, cadaver dogs were brought to the home Fawn had lived in with Heather, and the concrete slab was ripped up, but no trace of Fawn was found. No evidence connected to Fawn Marie Mountain has ever been found. Fawn's family, and especially her cousin Bridget, have been fighting for answers for years. They were able to raise enough money to put up 4 billboards in the area, but they soon had to let 2 of those billboards go, as they were too expensive to maintain. There is a GoFundMe that is still open and active. It was created by Bridget to raise funds for more billboards and other resources to help the family in their search for Fawn. I will link that GoFundMe in the show notes. There is absolutely no information surrounding the night that Fawn disappeared. Only one person knows what happened after Fawn walked inside of her home that night, and that person has consistently spun stories about Fawn and refused to cooperate in the search for her. The Pennsylvania State Police have said that Fawn's case is still active and is still being investigated, so that of course means that there could be more things about her disappearance that we just don't know. There is a Facebook group that is still very active, and it's managed by Bridget. I will link that Facebook group in the show notes. Please do go join, and hopefully there will be some kind of update about Fawn's case in the future. If you have any information about the disappearance of Fawn Marie Mountain in Claysburg, Pennsylvania, in November 2012, please contact the Pennsylvania State Police at 814-696-6100 or call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-472-8477. All sources for this episode are listed in the show notes. Please be sure to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. My Good Pods page will also be linked in the show notes. There, you can rate and review individual episodes, and you can also see what podcasts I've been listening to. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at CrimeAgainPod, on Instagram at CrimeAgainPodcast, and on TikTok at CrimeAgainPodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Listen.